Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Amy Eddings, sitting in for Brian Lehrer, and we're back with our poet in residence for the day, Roland Leggiardi Laura. You have another poem for us, Roland?
I do have another poem. And just before I start it, I want to read a little. While I was getting this other poem written, I first decided to write what spontaneous riff poetry is, because we need to know that.
Okay.
So
we're defining our terms
here. The inner blast furnace of your Homeric soul, blown open by the uncontrollable need to bleed what others might read, as you spill your hot brain's iambic seed upon the earthen ears of your peers, both near and far, on the radio car. That's called stretching for a rhyme. Okay.
Great.
Now,
how long did it take for you to write that?
Well, that was in between Shirley and
Master
break. Shirley.
Yes. Okay. Let's hear another one.
Okay. So this is in honor of Kelly McMaster's book and in honor of Kelly. Tell me about my heroes, sweet Kelly, master of the bereft. On Long Island, fertile gift of an ancient, melting, grinding mother glacier, left to its red children, forced borrowed by pale invaders, held in trust till the oceans rust. Tell me that the real heroes suffer in silence. These are not my baseball heroes or my football heroes or the war-wounded shipped home in pieces. These are the secret heroes, the working-class heroes who came to feel the surf wash the mud from their souls, broken by that ancient grinding glacier of foreclosure. That should be enough to qualify for a hero's medal, but not for my heroes, the heroes of Shirley, fighting against the creeping mystery death, the death of a thousand rads, dripped into water, leached into soil, wafted into breath, cooked into every Sunday family homegrown duckling lunch, hugged and held and shared with every kiss, every dusty tear. How do these heroes fight the battle for us? Not by dying a victim's death, but by living on the battlefield of truth against power. Tell me, Kelly, how can we master the heroic burden of dark knowledge? How can we win against this ancient grinding glacier of willful secrets? I want new heroes in my life. I want Kelly's heroes.
Roland, what's great about that is that it tells me that you're writing this and creating this and thinking of this and listening at the same time to pull in words like duckling and, you know, that's an incredible talent.
We poets are ambidextrous. We can walk and chew gum.
And write poetry at the same time. Let's hear from a listener. This poem's in keeping with some of today's themes as well. Here's Paula Stanzi. Hello, Paula.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Let's hear your poem.
Okay. I heard home prices are finally crashing, despite the predictions of real estate agents whose teeth are gnashing. The bubble has burst, and we haven't seen the worst. We'll wait it out and watch it drop like the ball in Times Square. It's fun to walk away from a tiny, grungy apartment for sale and say, you're dreaming. I'm not buying here. In New York City, the buyers are finally in control, so get your bargaining hat on and get ready to roll.
Paula, that's great. And do you remember what show inspired you or what segment inspired you to write that poem?
Well, there were so many. I mean, there's been so much talk about the real estate market dropping on the show, and I just thought this would be a perfect piece to write.
Perfect. I love that image of it dropping like the ball in Times Square,
exactly.
Slow and inexorable. Thanks so much, Paula Stanzi.
Thank you.
Mary Grace Dembeck, you have a poem for us. You're from Westport, Connecticut. Welcome to WNYC. Mary Grace?
Oh, hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hi, Roland.
Hi.
Hi. I heard the possibility of war with Iran being discussed on Brian's show, and I had written this poem about it.
Let's hear it.
Okay, it's called Wars Without End. Do you hear the drums beat like they did before? Do you hear the calls for yet another war? This time it's Iran who is causing us ire, and it's the next target on which we must fire. Never mind that our army is stretched paper thin. Never mind the quagmire we're still embroiled in. No matter how many more lives we will spend, here comes the next chapter of Wars Without End.
That's great.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for participating in National Poetry Month. Mary Grace Dembeck from Westport, Connecticut. We also have Stephen Paul Miller on the line here on WNYC. Welcome to WNYC, Stephen.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you. And what inspired you to write your poem, which you're going to read for us?
I saw you had a segment about opposition to a mental illness facility on Staten Island.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. I heard a silence embedded in the Brian Lehrer show. Staten Island, dig your mental illness. Let it float.
Hope floats, eh, Stephen?
Yeah. And neutrality.
That's great. Stephen, thank you so much. That's Stephen Paul Miller contributing to National Poetry Month, riffing as our poet in residence for the day, Roland Leggiardi-Laura, has been doing all day with us on the Brian Lehrer Show, riffing on our topics. Today ends National Poetry Month. Roland, do you think poetry gets enough attention? Do you think people pigeonhole it?
Well, I'm actually campaigning for National Poetry Millennium, so uh-huh. I think we need a tad more. And poetry is in everything we do, both good and bad. There's a dark side to the poet's soul in every advertisement you hear, every jingle that's written. Things, you know, Coke is it, is truly a poet's, it's the last part of a haiku, it's the coup part of the haiku.
I love that. In addition to being a poet and a filmmaker, you're also chairman of the board of directors at New Eurekan Poets Cafe. They're celebrating their 35th birthday.
Yes, we are. So this is where I get to do our shameless plug.
Yeah, and first, can we trust Poets Cafe over 30?
You know, that's a good question. We actually are poets, so we don't know how to count well. We could actually only be 4 years old, so we're not sure. So give us a few more years to extend that trust.
And your shameless plug?
And my shameless plug. Well, first of all, I'm not the chairman of the board. I'm just on the board of directors.
Oh, okay.
I'm a lowly director. So, yes, well, we are celebrating our 35th anniversary, and this is an anniversary that stretches back to 1973 when we began in the apartment of our founder, Miguel Algarin. And ever since then, I guess we've worked hard to be a cultural icon and a place that honors and protects and supports the spoken word. And we serve the underserved, as people tell us. And Allen Ginsberg said that this was the most integrated place on the planet. So we thank him. Allen, wherever you are, thank you for that quote. So now, on May 3rd, which is a mere 4 days from now, you get to come and share our celebration at Town Hall. This is we're celebrating the 35th year and the beginning of the third millennium.
And this is Saturday night.
This is Saturday night mm-hmm. at Town Hall starting at 8 p.m. We have an amazing lineup. This is really going to be a truly fun, traditional New Eurekan evening. First of all, Rosie Perez is going to be one of our hosts. She's wild and crazy. Flaco Navaja is going to be our MC. We're going to have really strong poets there. La Bruja, Tato La Vieira, Nancy Mercado, Willie Perdomo, Ishmael Reed, Entozaki Shange, Quincy Troop, and Savion Glover, the amazing man with poetic feet, that tap dancer, is going to be there. We have a bunch of young poets from our champion slam team, including a guy whose name is Advocate for Words. Now, what mother would have given her child a middle name for? But we don't know. In any case, he's here. And we have this extraordinary music, Yerba Buena, which is Boricua roots music. So you'll be dancing in the aisles. Call Town Hall, get tickets. They actually are selling out.
How has New Eurekan Poets Cafe changed over 35 years in your mind?
Well, you know, part of that change has been simply about the growth from a small apartment salon, if you will, for marginalized New Eurekan Latino poets in an already marginal world of poetry into a place that has its own space and that is protected in that space. We have this large, welcoming, open room. And what's exciting and what we're celebrating is not just our past, but our future. Turns out we have 5,000 square feet of unused space above our large open room that have been sitting there dormant for all these years. This is an art crime of of monumental proportions in the East Village. So we are celebrating the beginning of our quest to develop that space. We have a beautiful 1,000-square-foot backyard, which we're going to turn into an open poet's garden. We're going to develop a whole new series of programs, including what we've wanted to do for a long time, which is a teaching program, and bring in young kids. I teach kids up in the Bronx, amazing spoken word artists in a high school called University Heights. And I teach kids at Beacon High School. And they don't have places to go outside of the school environment to practice their craft, to become people who learn to write their own life stories. So this is a big opportunity for the New Eurekan.
Have you seen changes in poetry and the way poets express themselves? I mean, you talk about kids not having a place to express themselves. I'm thinking they express themselves all the time, writing rap and working on rap beats and rap songs.
Well, this wasn't always the case, Amy.
Text messages on their... Those are little poems in and of themselves, I'm sure.
Yes. Well, certainly technology has allowed and created new venues, and I can barely get my cell phone to work, so I'm awfully impressed by a kid who can send me a poem. But, you know, one of the big shifts in the poetic world occurred in the late 80s and early 90s as slam poetry began to...
I remember the poetry slams there. It was a big deal. It was a movement. But
yes.
What has happened to
that?
Well,
that came out of the frustration with the Reagan years when language was turned into newspeak in the outside world, and young people felt they needed this place. And the poetry slam at the cafe became one of the homes. We're certainly not the inventor of the slam, but we made it extraordinarily accessible and popular over the last decade. So the slam has provided a venue. It's provided a way for young people to take their voice off the page and put it out on the stage and express their rage.
And is it mostly rage that you hear coming from?
No. There's phenomenal love in these kids' writing. A lot of pain, a lot of incredible wisdom and insight. There's tremendous humor. There is tremendous depth of understanding. And what I am constantly impressed with the young people is that they have taken this new form, or it's really the oldest form. Speaking poetry goes back to Homeric times, when poetry was the 6 o'clock news.
Mm-hmm. Is spoken word poetry, though, pushing out printed poems? How are non-performing poets doing?
Well, all of our writers have to put their poems somewhere, and they start by putting them on the page, and those poems get collected in books. In fact, the New Eurekan is now starting its own press, the New Eurekan Press, so we're going to be celebrating our first book that's coming out also on Saturday, and we have a whole new series. The page is not gone. You need the page.
Roland Leggiardi-Laura with the New Eurekan Poets Cafe, their event Saturday night. Thank you for coming and for being our poet in residence in studio today.
Thank you all.
And thanks to our listeners for participating in National Poetry Month. It was great to hear from you. You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show here on WNYC New York.